Blog Talk Radio.
Reader's Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hi, and welcome to Reader's Entertainment Radio, and we are doing a special program called Not About My Book. And today we are going to be talking with L.A. Banks, who is an author and a mother, and who has had one of the most unique, incredible experiences ever. I mean, that I know personally, and I'm name dropping. Oh, I know her personally, but no, I mean, really, you have to go to her blog, and we will talk about the blog because that entire experience, the way you wrote it, I just felt like I was there with you. But I would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us the catalyst to this great story in the story.
Oh, Sheila, thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to be here. Oh, I don't even know where to begin about this story, but I was in the middle of a rant, and that's really where this began. You know, I was opening up bills. I'm self-employed as an author, and I have my daughter in college, and all of a sudden, you know, I get this health care bill, and I'm like, this has to be wrong because it was double what it normally was. And I thought, what is going on? So I call them, sure that there's a mistake, or maybe they didn't get my last payment crossed in the mail or something. And they said, oh, no, this is our new rate that will be happening. This was an introductory letter to tell you what your rate is going to be, you know, starting something like March 1. And this was in the middle of January. I'm like, what? That's illegal. That was my first thought, only to find out, no, it wasn't. And it wasn't just me. It was what was going to happen to everybody, in different age bands across Pennsylvania, where I live in Philly. So, all right, so I said, you know what? I was so angry that day, and I was so upset. I said, I'm writing the damn White House. I was so mad. I went on whitehouse.gov, and I just went into this whole long stream of consciousness, no edit, no punctuation, just no spell check. And I was like, Mr. President, we need your help. We need, you know, that woman, what's her name? Catherine Sebelius, which I know I spelled wrong. And we need her to fight for us, you know, the way they're fighting Anthem Blue Cross out there in the West. And oh, I just went on and on and on. And then I pushed then. And I'm thoroughly believing now that that's it. I got to pay.
You vented.
I vented. I got it all out. And I'm going to have to pay this bill, and this is just life. So I went on about my business. Well, 3 weeks later, I got a call, and the call went like this. Ms. Banks, this is the White House. And I was like, I laughed. I knew it had to be my friends pranking me because I told them all how I was mad and I vented, you know. And they were like, you're going to get in trouble with Homeland Security. And, you know, we laughed, and they always tease me anyway because they're like, between running vampires and looking up weapons of mass destruction online now, like my hard drive has a lot of really bizarre stuff, esoteric religions, you know, demonology. I mean, I got a lot of stuff on there that, you know, kind of makes me on the fringe. So when they said this is the White House, I'm thinking, oh my God, okay, this is it. I'm in trouble. And they were like, we received your email. And then I stopped laughing because I realized it was and they said, we need, you know, your social security number and all this. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to jail. Then I was like, oh, this is a scam. No, I don't. How do I know you're from the White House, you know, conspiracy theorist that I am? And they were like, ma'am, we can give you the number. You can call us back and all this. But, you know, we'd like to invite you to come to the healthcare rally, and we need to vet you. So I thought, oh, okay, okay. So I called back and making sure that, you know, because before you
not going to give out your social, right?
No, never going to give out the digits. So And I gave them the information. They said, okay, well, we can't promise you, but if you pass vetting, we'd like you to do an introduction of the president. And I said, oh, get out. Then I said, you know what, Leslie, don't even get yourself hopeful, because you, like vampires and werewolves, you are not passing vetting. You're not. Forget about it. So, you know, I 24 hours went by, and I told my sister, oh, I had this crazy experience. You're never going to believe this. And they called me. And I was like, what? Are you serious? And then I had, like, to hurry up and get them the speech and then hurry up and, you know, get there so that they could look at my car and, you know, do the dry run and all this stuff, like, within 24 hours from the time I got that call. And it was just, it was the most incredible thing in the world. The man is just charisma on two legs. That's number one.
You were nervous.
I was so nervous. I was like shaking like a leaf. I'm standing behind, you know, the curtain, and I'm waiting to go on to say my speech. And all I kept thinking is, my little book that had my speech in it is going to touch the presidential podium. It's going to touch his book. I was like such having this like fangirl moment, you know.
And one of them gave you a hard time, or not really a hard time, but was trying to actually relax you, right?
He was. The men in black are all behind stage, okay, and they're all like wearing heavy artillery underneath these suits and wires in their ear. It's just like I was in an episode of 24. I swear to God, I was like, oh my God. And this guy walks up, you know, very deadpan, and he says, Ms. Banks, there's only two things you cannot do in front of the president. I'm like, yes? He's like, ma'am, don't puke and don't faint. And I was like, and at first I thought it was serious, and he cracked a smile and I laughed. I was like, oh my God. Okay. But he walked out between all these, like a sea of Secret Service was around him. He just walked through the Secret Service, and he walks up to me like he's, you know, some guy from around the way and says, hey, you must be Leslie. I almost fell down on the floor. I swear to you. I was just going to
broke rule number one.
I don't faint. Okay. I think I was good with the puke part, but the faint, not so much. But that was real possible. And then he looked me in the eye. He was not like the kind of person that has like this fake politician thing. He was like real concerned there, and he was like, you know that we have to do this. We have to fix this for people. We're going to fix this. And I started filling up. I was just like, thank you so much. Oh my God. So I was like, keep it together, keep it together, you know? And he said, you know, he thanked me for telling my story. He said, that was really personal. You're telling your story like that, and that you're going to stand here and tell it. And I was like, no, thank you, Mr. President, for fighting for us. And there were so many things I wanted to say to him in that moment I didn't get a chance to say, because, you know, they're moving you through, and he's got places to go with people to see, not just stand there and have some, you know, coffee and tea with you, you know. But I wanted to tell him, man, my daughter, who was also in the audience, because I could finagle some tickets for her and my sister and my stepmom, to keep a family feud from happening. That's another whole long story. They were threatening to dump this girl for a ticket. But she had just turned 18 in time to vote, register so she could vote for him.
Oh.
Oh, my God. And that was the first person she pulled a lever for. And we got up that early that morning, and, you know, we had breakfast together and all this stuff. And she's like, Mom, why are you making such a big deal and whatever? Because I was really quiet and all this. And I said, because I miss my mom and dad. My parents died young, so, you know, they didn't see him. And they were such community people and such activist people. And I'm like, your grandmother and grandfather, they marched with King. They believed that this was possible, man. And then my sister said, I have to go too, because Mom and Dad. I was like, I know, I have to ask the people. So I called the White House back, and I begged. I told them this whole story, you know, and they said, all right, ma'am, we're not really supposed to do this, but, and they snuck me two more tickets, you know, because of my dad's widow. Oh, it was just a whole big thing, and they were standing like right at the rail in front of where the podium was. So, and I was like, I took my dad's tie in one pocket and my mother's ring in the other, just like I did when I went to vote. And when I went up there, and the guy who was the handler, he said, "Now, Miss Banks, when you hear the music, you know, wait for him so that there's like a clean handoff at the podium." And I'm like, music, okay. Again, I'm not firing on all cylinders because the man has hugged me and told me to knock him dead. And that's how he sent me out. He walked in, like, after he said thank you and all, I said, "No, Mr. President, thank you," and I started getting filled up. He just, like, reached out, hugged me, and said, "Knock him dead." Well, I almost fell down because that's what my father used to say, which really just messed me all up. And I get out there, and then I see my daughter, my stepmom, who's, like, you know, my second mom because my dad remarried after my mother died, and then my sister. And I had to give that speech. Let me tell you. I was like, please, angels above, don't let me cry and don't let me fumble when I'm coming off the stage. But when they started playing Hail to the Chief, when he came, I didn't realize that was the music, that they were going to play. That's when I almost passed out. I mean, I literally was holding on to that podium. I'm like, they're playing it like the president's anthem. So.
That's so exciting. Really exciting.
Yeah, I will never forget that. And he shook my daughter and my sister and my mom's hand.
He did.
I didn't they know brought that. Him down. Yeah, he remembered. They brought him down, and they had gotten pushed back because the crowd started surging. And Secret Service pointed to them and said, told people to move over a little bit, and they came forward and they got to shake his hand. And my daughter, she just had a girly giggle moment. She just went, and just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. I mean, like, my family was just, they're done. Stick a fork in my family, they are done, okay?
So. Wow. So obviously you're a best-selling author. I mean, you're everywhere. The graphic novel's going on. You and I have worked on some things before, so I know a little bit about your fan base, right? You have, like, the most loyal, active fans.
They're fabulous people.
I'm blessed. So you have this life where you're this famous author, and I'm sure your family is just, so proud of you, and then all of a sudden now, you get to, you get to introduce them to the president. They must just think you walk on water these days.
That was good for some, some IOUs in the family. No, it was one of those fluke things that, I wish I could say, I wrote this eloquent letter and I did this thing. No. This was like Hail Mary, boom. I just but it proves that this person reads, he doesn't, but somebody reads his email to him. I mean.
Well, he must have read it because he commented.
Yeah, he did. So that was pretty cool. I mean.
Oh, thank you for sharing that story. I love that story.
Oh, thank you so
much. The blog, do you get it from your site or
yes.
Is it its own blog?
If you go to LeslieEsdaleBanks.com and click on the blog or LeslieEsdaleBanks.com/blog, you can get to it right there. Yeah.
And I know because I read the whole thing and then some. It's a powerful story.
Thank you very much.
And I would like to switch gears a little bit. We're going to go ahead and I do want to talk about your books because you have some incredible things going on in your career.
Yes, it's been a good year.
It's like the last few times I've seen you at conventions, and this has been, the last 2 or 3 years, it's like each time it's something bigger than the time before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm like, oh, my God, thank you.
Yeah.
Get on my knees at night. Thank you.
So what's going on now?
Okay, well, what's going on now is that the Vampire Huntress Legend series is over, but we're taking it into graphic novels. And the DeBell brothers teamed up with Dynamite Entertainment, and they are going to be releasing the first book this July. So in BEA, we're doing kind of a big launch, and so that is really exciting. It's sort of like an epilogue to the series because I still had more to tell, but not enough to really give the readers a big whole book like they were used to. And I didn't want to cheat the readers and start, like, you know, giving them watered-down, little skinnier books. So this was a perfect way to stay in the Damali and Carlos world.
And still have a robust story.
Yes, and still have a very robust story.
And I've seen some illustrations.
Oh, man. Brett Booth is incredible.
It's truly amazing artwork. Amazing artwork. When you first saw it, how'd you feel about that?
I screamed. I really screamed because it came over the internet, you know, and I like opened up the JPEG and I just went, oh my God! And I really did. For me, like, you've lived in this world for 12 books. You know in your mind what you think these people look like, what kinds of things, and then to see them come to life, I mean, there's no greater, I can't even describe it. It's just, I guess the only better thing would be to see them on the screen, the silver screen, one day. So I still have my fingers crossed for that. But
and so do all your fans. I know that, too.
Oh, yeah. We're all in the same prayer group on that one.
Yeah.
And I hope so. The other thing that we have going on is the young adult series. That kind of got pushed back, you know, and weren't sure where that was going to land. And the book is written. We're just waiting on some contractual things to go on. So hopefully the next time we do this interview, I can say for sure who the publisher is going to be.
Do you have a working title yet that you can share?
Yeah, Shadow Walker.
Shadow Walker.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about it yet?
Oh, I can tell a little bit. Yeah,
oh,
I
give
can
a little, tell give a little. Give it a little.
It's the children of Damali and Carlos and everybody in the compound. And so each of the kids has a weird combination of their parents because their parents' superpowers, you know, like one person might be a sensory, you know, an olfactory or a tactile type of guardian. Well, you know, these guardians have all kind of crossed different, you know, what do you call it, special powers lines. So their kids all have these, like, freaky powers that are starting to come in. And, of course, you know, the ultimate evil is still out there somewhere lurking, and they have to go to a special academy to really learn how to rein in their power. And something happens there that threatens the compound.
Now, being able to take these powers and cross them, that had to be so fun.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, just having, you know, kids that, you know, don't have control of their fangs yet.
Let alone their emotions and hormones.
Yeah. And, you know, get pissed off and all of a sudden their fangs present and they get in trouble, get detention, you know. Like, go right to the principal, young lady. You will not bear fangs at me in your class. I mean, I just laughed out loud. I remembered all the getting in trouble. My sister and I, oh, my goodness.
So there's got to be humor in these.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. I got a crazy professor in there that's a weeper angel that smokes, you know, cigarettes because he really, really misses hellfire. You know? He's like, it's the closest thing to brimstone and I got to teach you, brat. You know, remember the old gym teacher? So, I mean, I just resurrected a lot of the teachers from my experience as a kid in school and, you know, put them in this really crazy world. And
this is what I love about you. I never know what to expect when we have a conversation because you are always growing and you're always fresh. I mean, you have this series that took off like, I mean, did you ever see the following that this series has? And then graphic novels and YA. I mean, you definitely are one of those people that are always growing. I always see you grow.
Well, thank you, Sheila. I mean, it's, you know, you know what it is? I love what I do, and I thank the readers for allowing me to do what I love. I mean, and they push me. Because it's like they were the ones that kept saying, well, after the 13th, the last book in the series, everybody's pregnant. We have to know. Like, what are the kids' names? And I hadn't named the kids. I hadn't thought about the kids. I was, you know, and I thought, okay. All right. They pushed me. And so.
And, you know, I have to say, you're one of those authors that are very sensitive to your readers. I mean, your readers matter to you in their heart.
They do. They really do. They're like family to me. They really, really matter.
And I wish people could see you and, you know, because you talk to me and I know, you know, it's like, okay, there's no microphone or there's no one listening. It's just you and I talking and chatting. It's in your heart. Those people are in your heart.
They are. You know, every book, that's why I stopped the series, because if I cannot deliver, you know, I was in the hall yesterday, and a lady walked up to me. This was after the awards ceremony and at the social afterwards, and she stopped me. She said, listen, I know you're really, really busy. She said, but my best friend of 34 years just passed, and I was in the hospital with her while she was doing chemotherapy, and I would read your books. And it made me escape, and it made her escape, and we would laugh. And she said, thank you for that. And I just, like, you know, it was like my heart just broke for her. But it also just kind of reinforced that you don't know who's picking up your book. You don't know what that person's getting through by escaping through those pages. And you owe them, you know, like, this is a privilege to be able to do what we do. I've had some pretty, pretty, you know, not so good jobs in my day, you know, and people love you enough that they spend their $7.99 on you, and their time, and they sit with you and your thoughts and your crazy imagination, and they live inside your head, because that's what's in the book, is what's inside your head, and they like what's inside your head. You know, that what greater compliment can somebody give you, and to tell you something that personal. I mean, that lady, when she walked away, I was just like, wow, wow, wow. You know, so it's stuff like that that makes you go the extra mile. And when people said they wanted to see kids, I'm like, okay,
we'll
let's see kids. You know,
let's see what we can put them through.
Let's see who, okay. I had four kids in my house at one point. I kind of, you know how some of this goes.
You know, and I saw you at the book signing. You know, my husband was just waiting with his poster. You know, waiting.
So
like,
nice.
You know,
he's so cute.
Wanted to get his poster signed, and there you are. You're with, you know, Melissa Marr and Kelly Armstrong and Anne Elizabeth and Charlene Harris and Jim Butcher. It's like, girl, you're an all-star.
I never thought, you know, I was just like, I'm an imposter, what am I doing sitting here? But it was just, it's fun, I love this, and RT coming to these conferences, oh my goodness, it makes a difference.
Well, yeah, I just want to say, you're like one of the most real people. I love to see you. You're one of those people I see, it's like, oh, it's and it just, it makes me smile when I see you're here. You know, and,
you make me.
But you know what? It's so nice to see someone like yourself. You're down to earth and you're caring. You take people to heart. And then I see you in this lineup with, you know, Charlene Harris, who writes Sookie and has True Blood, and Jim Butcher with Dresden, and, you know, these huge names. It's like, you are too. You are,
well,
too. And it's like, there's someone who not only worked for it, they absolutely deserved it in every way, every way imaginable.
Thank you. You are a dear heart.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know how busy you are. I want to thank our listeners for joining us on Readers Entertainment Radio. I am Sheila English, and we will talk to you again next week.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.